Years of time have come and gone since I first heard it told how Jesus would come again someday. If back then it seemed so real, then I just can't help but feel how much closer his coming is today. Upon the eastern sky, lift up your head, redemption draweth nigh.
Well, good morning, and once again, it is time for the Redemption Time broadcast. I am Brother Larry Knowles. I am the host and the speaker for this broadcast. And I do so much appreciate each one of you that has come this way. What a joy and a privilege it is to have this opportunity to share some moments around the Word of God and His principles and some good songs, good scriptural gospel songs. And we just thank you so much for being a part of the broadcast and for listening each week. Let me give you my church announcements from the Maryville Baptist Tabernacle there on Mount Tabor Road in Maryville, Tennessee, where Brother Rick Smelter is our pastor. We begin our Sunday school at 9:45 on Sunday mornings. We start our morning worship at 10:45, our Sunday evening at 6, and our Wednesday evening at 7. We give you an invitation to come and take part in any of these that you possibly can. We're an old-fashioned Baptist church. Preach the King James Version of the Bible. Sing the songs out of the Redbeck hymnal. We still have a choir. We still worship the Lord Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And so we invite you to come if you'd like to be a part of this. And if this is the kind of thing that you like, then certainly we feel like that we have lots to offer you. Now, don't really have any upcoming announcements. Sometime around the first of the year, we'll be having our winter revival with Brother Tom Gillum, but I'll be bringing you more information about that as the time gets closer. And if you've never heard Brother Tom, you really ought to think about coming and hearing him. What a great blessing you will get for that. Well, now we're going to have another song, and then I'll be back with you in a moment with today's message.
I'm not on an ego trip. I'm nothing on my own. I make mistakes, I often slip, just karma.
The blood was on his face.
that was the Dublin Valley Trio with when he was on the cross, I was on his mind. And I trust that the song was a blessing to you. Going to go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And just before I do this morning, I want to leave some requests with you. First of all, we need to remember our neighbors over in North Carolina. They are going through some awful things over there. People still don't have any water, don't have any electricity, don't have any of the things that they need, really, to carry on a normal life day to day. They've lost everything that they had. Everything was swept away. I heard this week of one of the gentlemen that preached in our camp meeting 3 weeks ago. He's a pastor of a church over there, and I think he's actually in Tennessee, right at the, close to the North Carolina line. His entire church and fellowship hall was completely just taken away. There's nothing left. Pray for him, for that congregation. They don't have a place to worship. I don't know what they're doing, but pray for them as they try to recover from this. And also, then I heard this week of the rescue and recovery efforts that's going on. There's not much rescue to be done. I think probably they've rescued about all they're going to find, but there's an awful lot of recovery. I heard this week that they're actually finding dead bodies lodged 20 feet up in the trees. And there, this is where they were drowned and washed into, and there's where they've been. So it's a daunting, distressing task that these people have got to go out and look for these survivors, or if there are any, and to recover those bodies. And I heard just this morning that there's still over 100 people in North Carolina alone that are unaccounted for. So the devastation is still going on, and we just have so much to be thankful for here around Maryville, Knoxville. We missed the worst of it, and God's been so good to us and blessed us, and we just have to be thankful and pray for these that need our prayers. And if you have the means and would like to donate something, there are several ways that you can do that. The Red Cross is taking donations, and several others, and I know of several churches around that are doing things. And so if you'd like to donate, there's some way to do that. I'm sure that you can, if you just listen and look around, you find some way to do that. Now let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, we do thank you for the blessings of the day and for the opportunity to make another broadcast. Thank you, Lord, for the ones that are listening, for the opportunity we have to bring the gospel and the message of the Lord Jesus Christ across the airwaves to the listening audience. Father, I pray pray for these that we've mentioned in over in North Carolina and in Georgia and in Florida and the different places that people have been seriously affected by this terrible, awful storm. Lord, I pray that you'll bless those people and help them. Bless those operations that are recovering those bodies and bringing some closure and answering the questions of where are my loved ones for those that are missing them. I pray, Lord, that you'll continue to help those folks and, Lord, help them to get their lives back together and return to some way of some kind of normal activities where that they can carry on with their life. I pray for Brother Leonard, Lord, and his church that they've lost their meeting place. Pray, Lord, that you'll help them to carry on somehow and to keep going. Lord, we pray for our missionaries. We pray for Israel. We pray for our country. And we pray, Lord, that you'll help us through the days ahead. Lord, I pray for this election. Just keep your hands upon it. And, Lord, we do know that you have a plan and you're going to work that plan. And we pray, Lord, that you'll just have your way with that. Just lead us and guide us in the ways we should go and use this broadcast for your honor, praise, and glory. All that you do, I'll thank and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, continuing this morning in our series that we've been doing for several weeks now, on refuting the onslaught of the media blitz that has unleashed against God and his people in the last few months. And we'd like to tell you that we have a reason for doing this, and we find it in 2 Timothy chapter 4, when Paul wrote to young Timothy. Paul's about to leave this world. He's about to be sacrificed. And he told Timothy, I'm leaving it with you, Timothy. He said, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears. Now, Paul is talking to Timothy about a time when people would turn away from the truth and would be turned to fables. And I do believe that he told Timothy to preach the word, to be instant, to rebuke and to reprove. And I do believe that I have justification to stand here and defend my faith and my beliefs and the word of God, although it doesn't really need any defending. It defends itself. It is a power within itself. And yet I cannot stand by and listen to the attacks of the devil and his crowd as they try to belittle and to diminish the importance of God's word and God's principles. Been looking at several things. Today we're about halfway through as we're looking at number 9. And we find that this one involves the fact that somebody said that the old time way was too restrictive and too exclusive because we're narrow-minded enough to say that Jesus is the only way to get to heaven. Can I remind you, dear friend, that Jesus himself made the following statements. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. You see, folks, that's not my words. That's not what I said. That's not what some other man who stands behind the pulpit says. Jesus himself said that, and he made himself the exclusive way to be reconciled back to God. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the only one that God will recognize as the sacrifice that will make you fit to stand in the presence of Almighty God and to approach him and become a part of his family. You cannot get there any other way. I've heard folks say, well, we're all working for the same place. No, I'm not working for anything. Jesus Christ died on the cross and paid my sin debt, and he gave me life eternal when I received him as my Savior. I'm working to glorify his name and to bring the message to other people. But I'm not working to get anywhere. Lord has saved me, and he's already assured me that he has a place for me. He's prepared it, and it's there waiting for me when I get there. So I have not working for any place, and I'm not trying to go some other way. And if you think you're going to get there some other way, friend, I'm sorry, but you won't. Jesus said that himself. And that's not what I said. I'm simply preaching the word of God as it is written. And Jesus Christ made that statement. And then notice something else he said. He said, I am the door of the sheep. And what's he talking about? He's talking about that he is the door that keeps the sheep, and the sheep are his people. Now, let me tell you something. A door has three purposes. Number one, it lets the sheep into the fold. If you ever get into the fold of God, if you ever become a sheep of God, if you ever become a child of God, if you ever are saved by the marvelous grace of God, it'll be because you come through the door. He said that if you try to climb up some other way, you're nothing but a thief and a robber. You've tried to get to God some other way, and he views you as a thief and as a robber, and you will not get there any other way. But then second of all, a door is also security. Not only is it an entrance, that's how the sheep get in, but thank God it's what keeps the sheep from getting out too. And I'm glad that because of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done, and because of who He is, and because of His power, and because of the way that God has declared things, I can't get out. God will not let me out because the door is there. The Lord Jesus Christ is my protection. I'm secure in the Lord. I'm saved and I'm safe. And one of these days I will make it to the other shore by the mercy and the grace of God. No other way, no other security, no other assurance do I have other than that He is the door. I cannot get out without going through the door, and He's not going to let me out. And then third of all, can I say to you that a door, not only does it let people into the sheepfold, does it let the sheep in, second of all, it keeps the sheep in, but third of all, it is a restriction, and it keeps those that are not supposed to be there out. And today, Jesus Christ stands with an open arm, and He invites all who will to come to Him. And He wants everyone to come to Him. And He is giving that invitation. He's paid the price. And He's sent the message. He's sending you a message today, friend. If you've never been saved, He wants to save you today. And I noticed that in this particular complaint, this lie, or this misunderstanding, I don't know what you call it. Maybe it's just plain old ignorance. But when they said this, it said that people that believe that are narrow-minded. And I thought that it was very ironic that they used that word narrow. Because, let me read you something from the Bible. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. Enter ye, now this is Jesus Himself speaking again. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. This is a narrow way. I submit that it's not narrow-minded people that go there, but it is the narrow way. And that word straight, the straight gate means there is a restriction. That restriction is that ye must be born again. You must come through the gate. You must come through the door. You must be saved by the grace of God in order to be a child of God, and in order to go to heaven when we leave this life. And so I thought it ironic that they used the word narrow. And can I share one other thing with you while I'm on that subject? Over in the book of Jeremiah, and chapter number 6, verse number 16, thus saith the Lord. Again, this is not some man speaking. This was God speaking directly to Jeremiah. And He said, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see. What's He talking about? There's two ways. Look and see. Stand there, look and see what happens. He said, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and you shall find rest for your souls. But you know what the people said? They said, we will not walk in them. Therefore, they did reach a place that God brought judgment upon them. Now, you may go through this life and never suffer consequences of not being saved. But friend, one day you'll have to face God. And He has said right there that there are two ways. There's the straight, and Jesus laid it out pretty plain, the straight and narrow and the broad and the wide. The broad and the wide is easy to hit. All you got to do is just keep going, just like you're going. Every day is the same. Every day is another day to do what we want to do. Every day is another day to ignore the call of God. And yet, there's another way that's straight. It has a restriction. That restriction is the Lord Jesus Christ. What will get you into heaven today will be the very thing that keeps you out of heaven in eternity if you do not receive Him in this life. Because when the books are opened and when the books are checked, it's going to be to see the book of life, and you get your name written in that book by being saved by faith in the shed blood, finished work, death, burial, resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've never done that, your name's not in the book. And if your name's not in the book, you're not getting in. I don't know any way to put it any plainer, friend. Now, I'm not saying that because I want to see anybody suffer that. I'd love to think that most everybody would be able to get into heaven. But the truth of the matter is, you still got to come by Jesus Christ. Doesn't matter what this world says today. No matter how outdated they think the truth is. No matter how old-fashioned and narrow-minded that they want to call us. The truth still remains. It has not changed. It will never change. That is that Jesus Christ is the way. He's the truth and He's the life. And no man will get to the Father. No man will get to heaven except by Him. I tell you that in a spirit of love, so that you are not deceived, because the Bible said that, you know, humans have a tendency to have itching ears. They like to hear what they like to hear. You ask somebody how you did on something, you like to hear the good news, don't you? Teacher, ask your teacher, how did I do on that test? You want to hear, oh, you did great. You got a 99 or maybe 100. What you don't want to hear is, oh, no, you failed. You're going to have to do it again. Well, friend, if you want to hear the good news, if you want to hear the good way, you're going to have to come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the next one that I would like to talk about for a little bit, and it said that they reject religion because so many religious people are politically conservative and support conservative candidates. Well, I make no apologies for that. I do. But why? Because they have proven to be the friends of Christ. They have proven to be the ones that, and I'm not saying that all conservatives are saved, and I'm not saying they're all above reproach, or that all of them are good. There's no crooked ones. There are. But by and large, as a whole, their overall policies have been in favor of religious freedom and the freedom of the people more so than the liberal left that has over the years has done nothing but to take away the rights of the individual. They're wanting desperately to come to the place that they dictate to you how you can run your life, what you can say, what you can do, where you can go, and when you can go. They want to do all of that. And that's why I support conservative political views. Is not because I think that the conservative people are angels or that they are perfect. I do not. But I'm certainly not going to support someone that wants to destroy my rights. And I'm not going to try to vote somebody in that I know is going to take my rights away, is going to make it difficult for me to live. And we've seen that already during this past administration. We've seen how difficult it's become for so many things. And right now we have approximately 600 or more known terrorists loose in this country that have been admitted through the southern border, and they have been purposely released into the public of the United States. And they tell me that there's possibly enough of them here now to carry out another attack similar to September 11, 2001. Now, you think I'm going to support that? Now you support who you want to. That's your right. That's your privilege. I'm not telling you how to vote. I am telling you to vote, but you vote. But if you're a Christian, let me ask you this. Look at what the candidates stand for. Do they stand for killing babies? Do they stand for shutting up the mouth of the gospel? Do they want to make it a hate crime to quote from the Bible? Do they do all of these things that is opposed to God and to the freedoms that God has given us? If they do, then you need to vote your conscience. You just vote as God leads. If you're a saved person, you ought to pray about it and vote the way God tells you to vote. That's the best way I can tell you. But I will admit, yes, most of evangelical Christians support the conservative point of view because they have historically been the friends of the gospel. And then I'll try to cover this one right hurriedly. The other one is that they oppose what they call manipulation by guilt. Now, I really don't know how to take that because, honestly, I do not believe that I have ever seen this done. And here's the thing about guilt. I can't make you feel guilty over something unless you feel guilty over it yourself. And the reason that they think that Christianity brings guilt is when the Word of God is preached and your person is convicted and they're reminded of their sin and their wrongdoing, yeah, they get a little guilty. But that's not because I have tried my best to make you feel guilty. I have told you the truth. If you feel guilty, it is your conscience, or it may be the Holy Ghost dealing with you and trying to bring you to a place to face yourself, face your sin, receive the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sin, and be saved by the grace of God. Now, down to my last 2 minutes. I won't start another one. Maybe if everything goes right, I might be able to finish this up in about two more series, and then we'll move on to something else. But we've brought you these today. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me, friend. That's the point I want to drive home as I close this broadcast out. If you think you're going to get there some other way, religion won't get you there. Popularity won't get you there. Good works won't get you there. Good intentions pave the way to hell. And good people go to hell if they're not saved. Jesus Christ is the only way. He's the door. He's the straight and narrow way. He's the restriction. Today, he's your Savior. One day, he'll be your judge. And he'll have to sentence you according to whether or not you have been saved. That's the only thing that's going to matter when it comes down to where you spend eternity is what have you done with Jesus. Now, I want to ask you, friend, if you ever been a time in your life that you know for sure that you can look back on when the Holy Spirit spoke to your heart, convicted you of sin, and brought you to a place that you were willing to admit that and to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your life, save you, forgive you, and make you one of his own. Friend, if you've never done that, I want to encourage you today. Get someplace alone, just you and the Lord, and talk to him and ask him to save you. On the authority of God's word, if you do that, he said, whosoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It will happen. Now may God bless you and keep you safe. Be back here again next week at this same time.